up and read our announcements. She comes over here fast enough. Thank you. Thank you. Yep.
I am fast enough. I just forgot to do this. I feel bullied right now.
Nah,
like,
I'm
I feel
joking,
bullied. No. Hold on. Let me drink some water. My voice is breaking, if it isn't obvious. Sorry, everyone. I'm a little prepared. But, hi, everyone. Welcome to our Friday service. We're thrilled to have you here. I certainly am. All right. Just once again, I'm Exy, but you can also call me Icy. It's whichever you prefer. I am the co-owner of Vera Chat Grayson Ministries, and I would love to chat with you anytime, so don't hesitate to come say hi. But before we dive in, here are a quick announcements that I have for you. We've got something special in the works, a new church map. It's being built right now, soon, and soon we'll be gathering in a brand new world, so stay tuned. Can't wait to show you our new space. I'm super excited about that one. And then... our services are held every Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. This is Eastern time, by the way. So 5:30 p.m. for fellowship, 5:45 for hymns, 6 p.m. for preaching. And if you happen to miss a service, no worries. All sermons are uploaded to our YouTube channel, VR Chat Grace Ministries. You can also download them in an MP3 format from our website, which is vr-grace.org. Yes, there is a dash. And if you'd like to support our ministries, we have a Ko-Fi page, and you can find the link in our YouTube description and in our Discord under Partner in Grace. And lastly, be sure to join our VR Chat group and Discord community to stay connected with us throughout the week. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Icy. All right, we're going to go over prayer requests. Anyone have any prayer requests for this weekend? Anybody? What's up, Ash? What's going on?
I got a friend, her name's River, and she's been down. Her cat just passed away, lifelong pet. She's been through one thing after another, and this happened. So she just, grace for healing and grace on her.
Yeah, Lord, I pray for River, Lord, that you just help her in this hard time. She just lost her cat, Lord. I pray that you comfort her in this time. Your word says you reconcile all things unto yourself, things in earth and things in heaven. So we know, Lord, that our animals do go to heaven, Lord, because you reconcile them to himself. Lord, I just pray for a River that you help her, bless her, Lord, and just help her in this hard time. Lord, she's probably going through a lot. Give her some grace and mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll keep her in my prayers tonight. Anybody else? I love pets. I hate when pets get hurt. All right. Anybody else? Okay. We're going to continue praying for Shadow and all that. Lord, I pray for the ones who asked prayer requests last night, Lord, our last service. I pray bless Shadow, Lord, help him and his stepdad in his recovery, Lord. I just pray you help them all, Lord. And I just pray for anyone here right now, Lord, who has an unspoken prayer request that they want to reach out, Lord. I just pray you bless them, help them answer their prayers, Lord. I give them grace and mercy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to have Brother Spooky come up and read our text. We're in Psalms 46, all verses. Thanks, brother. If he's too quiet, turn him up. His mic's having issues, so.
Alrighty. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted.
What are you talking about?
The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our
refuge.
So I
just banned someone
Selah.
Named the poor.
Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah.
Amen. Brother Nano, would you like to pray over service real quick?
Sure.
Thank you. Come up here and pray. Thank you, brother.
Dear Lord Jesus, I pray that you bless this gathering. I pray that you give Brother Preacher utterance through him. I pray that your word might be spoken today. In your most holy and precious name, amen.
Amen. All right, amen. I see you did a good job on that. Thank you. We'll talk after service. You can go AFK if you need to. Sorry, guys. So, you know, there's a lot of things I want to talk about today. You know, a lot of things I want to talk about. Sonny, you're good. I saw your message. You're good. Sorry. I should have texted you back. You're fine. Yeah, you're all good. God bless you. Sorry about that, guys. All right, anyway. You know, there was a man in the Bible. There's a story in the Bible I want to talk about, a guy named Joseph. It's in Genesis 37, 39, Old Testament. And God gave him a dream, okay, a purpose for his life. And we all have dreams in here, amen? We all have goals in life. And God revealed something to Joseph. You know what, Joseph, here's what I'm going to show you. And sadly, you know, the very people who should have supported him, should have covered him, and should have protected him, betrayed him, his brothers who should have, you know, covered him, you know, betrayed him, and the ones who should have supported him sold him. And yet, what the enemy used, God turned out for good. We see that in Genesis 50, and we're here in Psalms. I want to read this with you. Now, read with me. Psalms verse 1, 46 verse 1, it says, God is our refuge, a strength, a very present help in trouble. The title of my message is, it's okay. You're okay. And that's some words that we kind of need to hear today. I need to hear this myself too. You know, that you're okay. It's okay. It's going to be okay. You know, that's easy to be said, right? We say that all the time. Oh, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. But in our minds, well, I don't know. You know, everything's a little out of control right now. But I was going to read Psalms here. Let's read this real quick. Verse 2, Psalms 46, if you're following along. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth be removed. I don't know about you. I'd be freaking out, okay? If the earth was starting to be removed, I'd be freaking out here. And though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof, the rivers. There's a river, though. So hold on. Before that, he says, listen, the earth will be removed. Mountains be carried away. Though the waters thereof roar. And he's telling us it's going to be okay. That's how life is, right? You know, life gets hard. Let's be honest. You know, life gets rough. We live, we're human. You know, people think us Christians, we disconnect from reality. No, we're in reality. We're involved. We're human. We're here. You know, life gets messy. It falls apart. And I want to add 3 points. And my first point is this, that God is in control when life feels out of control. And in Psalms, it says here that God is a present help in trouble. A present help in a time of trouble, better way to put it. So when trouble comes, he's telling us, listen, God is involved. He's there. He's actively there. So I don't feel like it. Well, that's not a feeling. It's a truth. I don't see it happening. It's not a seeing. It's a truth. He's there. There's this story with Joseph where everything was falling apart. I mean, everything. I mean, God showed him a dream. Everything was going, oh, this is going to be so great, God. And everything went apart. Everything fell a mess. Everything. The enemy, you know, got to his brothers, and his brothers betrayed him. The people who should have supported him, sold him. I mean, Joseph was just falling apart. And the Bible says in Genesis 39 that the Lord was with Joseph. Job lost everything. His family, his kids, his wealth. But he still had his nagging wife. That was Satan's biggest curse on Joseph. I'm just joking. But he lost everything, mostly everything. I can't picture that. Can you? That you just lost your wealth. Boom, gone. Kids, gone. And yet, Job blesses the Lord. I mean, Job had faith. Job had faith that the Lord was going to work all things out for our good, for his good. When situations go left, God hasn't left you. Our disappointments aren't God's banishment. You know, David says in Psalms, he says, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsittings and uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou hast conquest my path, my lying down. Thou art acquainted with all my ways, for there's not a word of my tongue, but Lord, thou hast knowest all together. What's that saying? That God is in control. God knows your thoughts before you think them. God knows your days before you wake up. God is sovereign over today. He ordained your steps. And this, as a preacher, I don't understand that. Well, David didn't either. Look what he says in Psalms here. Look what he says. He says right here in verse 6. Well, verse 5. Hold on. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and thine hand upon me. And such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I cannot attain unto it. If David couldn't attain to it, we're not going to attain to it. Just don't know. But what I want to make a point here is that when life is not going the way we think it should be going, God is still in control. He's there. He's a present help. And there's a promise in the New Testament that says this: all things work together for good to them that love God. Well, I don't love God, preacher. Okay, well, loving God is letting God love you. Okay? We died to the law, right? What to love God is letting God love you. But we know that He's working all things out for our good. Even the negative things in your life, that God is sovereign over those negative situations you're in. Maybe it was your fault. You caused a mistake. I want to tell you, God is sovereign over that. And He's working it all out for your good, for the best for you. It's going to be okay. I may not tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know how it's going to be okay. But I can tell you from the Word of God that it will be okay. And here's my other point here. It's okay not to be okay. You know, it's okay to say, I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I don't know what's going to happen years from now. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And it's okay not to be okay. Because, you know, again, weakness is not failure. Paul says, well, Jesus said that my grace is made perfect in weakness. When you feel like everything's falling apart in your life, God's grace is great in there. It's involved in there. He's moving all things out for your good. His grace is active. His grace is involved. In Lamentations chapter 3, the Bible says, it's because of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. The mercies of God, it's because of the mercy of God we're not consumed. Give me utterance, Lord, help me here. And we're all going through stuff. Trials, tribulations, family issues, relationship issues, friendships. I don't know what you're going through, but we're all going through something. And sometimes you don't know what to do. Sorry, guys. How is this going to get better? How is this going to get better? How is this going to work? How is this going to turn out for my good? Well, God said so it will. His grace is there. His grace covers all areas of our life. Not just, oh, we're forgiven of our sins, we're saved and forgiven. Amen, that's true. All your sins are forgiven. The consequences, that the things that you're experiencing in life right now are not consequences of your sins. They're just part of life. We live in a fallen world. Your stand before God is secured. God's grace does not just cover your forgiveness, but it covers all areas of your life, your goals, your dreams, your hobbies, that you're standing in His unmerited favor. Not just that, you're standing in Christ Himself. John 1 says, grace for grace, that grace is Christ Himself, and you're standing in Christ. You're one with Him. What you're going through, the Lord's going through it with you. He's a present help in a time of trouble. You don't need to fix yourself, right? When things get hectic, when things don't go our way, when things get rough, we usually run to ourselves, don't we? I got to fix it. So we run through plans, you know. We make up goals and plans. And there's nothing wrong with having goals and plans and all that. I get it. You want to prepare. But that just causes what? More frustration, more guilt, more shame, more condemnation. Go to Matthew chapter 11. A lot of you may know this verse. This is where Jesus, one of my favorite verses in Matthew, where Jesus says here, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So we have a friend. We have a God. We have a strong tower. That's Jesus. We can rest in Him. Say, Lord, I can't fix this situation, but I know You can. we learn to what? Depend on him. Stop looking to yourself. It's okay not to be okay. So don't run to these dead works that you're trying to do to fix the situation that you cannot fix. Sometimes you just can't fix it. So what do? Lord, you fix it. This is in your hands. I don't know what to do, but Lord, have mercy on me. So when I say it's that you're okay, I'm telling you, you're fine. You and God are good, and God is for you in this situation. He's working all things out for your good. He's at working right now. I don't feel it. I don't see it. That's fine. You don't have to see or feel it. He's doing it. And it's going to be okay. Remember, your feelings don't determine reality. A lot of people base what's going on in their life on their feelings. You know, they're standing on God on their feelings. They base on inward sensations or experiences. And when they don't have those certain sensations or experience, they think something's going on or something's wrong with me. I'm not praying enough. I'm not reading my Bible enough. Maybe this is happening in my life because I'm not going to church enough. I'm not doing good enough. No, my friend. Don't do that. Your stand before God is secured. And the Bible says when we're faithless, he is faithful. So even when we're unfaithful, God is working all things out for our good. He is still faithful to his promise. And God's grace is carrying you even now. Paul says, well, Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you. Grace means God is enough. Even when you're not. You don't have to earn God's approval. You don't have to earn his acceptance, his love. You already have it in Christ. And let that carry you in life. That the Creator loves you. And he's for you. And he's working all things out for your good. And when some people don't pray. And listen, you don't have to pray. You don't have to. There's no demand. You're free to not to pray. God's still going to work things out. But, you know, people sometimes are afraid to pray because they think they're too sinful. Listen, the moment you believe the gospel, your sins are gone away with. God no longer sees your sins. They've been forgiven. Or I don't know how to pray. There's no fancy way to pray. I'm not a good prayer. Listen, when I pray for people, like here before the service, I don't sound fancy. You know, I'm not sitting here like David. You know how David can pray better than me. Okay, we see in Psalms. You don't have to sound like David. Be you. God made you the way you are. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not evil in his sight. Listen, your body's not evil. Your muscles are not evil. Your skin tone's not evil. God created you and it is good. You're good in his sight. Now, of course, we have sin, right? Dwells in our flesh. The principle of sin, which is the flesh, right, dwells in us. It's a mindset, right? But guess what? That stuff's been crucified on the cross. With all its lusts, virtues, afflictions, crucified, judged. God's done with the flesh. He expects nothing from it. That should bring freedom and liberty for that. Hey, you know what? I'm free right now. I'm free where I'm at. That God's for me. That I am okay. God is working all things out for my good. His grace abounds. Life gets hard. And listen, troubles are going to come. Sickness are going to come. You know, life is going to get hard for some here. And it might get easy. I don't know. But where life gets hard or easy, just know God is with you in that time. And he's with you right now. Daily, he's with you. His grace will carry you. There's times where I don't know what to do. I don't know what to preach. I don't know what to say. I'm having conversations. But I just don't know what to do. I say, Lord, have mercy. Yeah, you got to do it, Lord. You got to be what these people need. You know, that's all I can really say. And sometimes I don't have the right words to speak, and all I can do is depend on the Lord. But my point with this message today, and I'm going to try to keep it simple and short here, is that you don't have to be afraid of living a life, or a life, a human life. Or when life gets hard, you don't have to be afraid of losing control. Listen, because first off, God's in control. And what God wants you to do is to let go and say, Lord, I don't have it all together, so I'm going to trust you with this. I'm going to put this in your hands. Think about, again, Joseph. It went from a promise of this beautiful life and went straight to the pit, to the prison. And yet, through every step, the Lord was with him. And what the enemy meant for evil to hurt Joseph, God turned it for good. right here in Psalms 46, David goes on to say, and this is talking about you, listen up. There's God in the midst, verse 4, there is a river that streams whereof shall make the glad city of God a holy place of tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her that right early. Let's continue. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melt. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord with desolation, or what desolation hath he made in the earth? He maketh the wars cease unto the end, and of the earth he breaketh the bow, the cutteth the spear that surrender. Be still and know that I am God, and I will exalt among the heathen, and I will be exalted in the earth. But notice in verse here when he says this, that God is the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her in the right early. Or the glad city of God, the holy place, the tabernacles of the Most High, and every single one of you, you're the temple of the Lord. You shall not be moved. You shall not be moved. Be still and know now that God says, I am God, and you shall be exalted. Don't despair. Don't run away. You're okay. Just stay where you are. You're going to be okay. I don't know how you're going to be okay, but I just know thing that from the Bible, you're going to be okay. It might not sound okay. You might not see that everything's okay. Maybe things are falling apart. Maybe like David said, that the earth is just being removed and the mountains are getting carried off and the waters are roaring up. I mean, everything's just falling apart. But yet, even when that's happening, God is saying, you're okay. It's going to be okay. I don't know how. Okay, I don't have it figured out in my life. I'm 22. I don't have it figured out yet in my life. You know, all these people online that put out this fake, you know, these, you know, Sigma Alpha male influencers, write their courses, you know, who say they have it all together. They don't. You're free of the money. They're just using you for the money. They don't have it all together. They don't. And then, like, there's always, like, every five couple years, there's always, like, a new influencer. But then, like, they always get exposed for, like, some messed up things or bad marriages. They're in a bad marriage. Showing you they don't have it all together. Neither do we. Nobody does. No one truly does. And that's okay. It's okay to feel a little insane sometimes. It's okay to feel not okay. You're not alone. And God's with you. And the Bible says in Hebrews, he understands our weakness. He understands our what we're going through. He's been tempted all like we, but without sin. So what you're going through now, whether it's a struggle or addiction, whether it's a mental battle or what, just know the Lord was there with you and he's been through the same thing. He can relate to you as our great high priest. And as our high priest, what is he doing? He's supplying us with his life. Notice what David said, that God is our strength. It say, you better get up and be strong. He says, no, God's our strength. So it's okay for you to be weak because, listen, God's your strength. Paul said that God's grace, or Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee in weakness. And Paul was going through a lot. I mean, he had messages of Satan just coming out, attacking him. And Paul just couldn't do it. And God said, listen, my grace is made perfect in weakness. Think about that. In your worst condition, you think, or your weakest condition, God's grace is made perfect in that. I don't know how, right? I can't understand that, preacher. I don't either. Because in my weakness moment, I don't feel great. I feel terrible. I let somebody down, or I'm going through something mentally, you know, or just going through a relationship issue or a friendship issue, whatever. You know, you don't feel so good. But in that trouble, God is saying, my grace is strength. My grace is there. The supply is there. Listen, so here's my point. God's grace, right, covers all areas. That means the supply for that job interview tomorrow is there. The supply of just today has been, when you were going to bed last night, God has supplied the grace for you today. It's there. The supply is there. He's supplying you. Don't confuse the feelings with the supply. He is supplying Christ as your life in all areas. Job, relationship, friendships, goals and dreams and hobbies. The grace of God is there. You don't need his approval. You have his approval. As a believer, you're standing in his favor. Nothing you do can separate you from his love or his favor. You're standing in it. God wants you to rest in it. God wants you to rest in his favor. Rest in his grace. Go to Romans 8 with me. Sorry, hold on. Sorry, one second. I'm trying to lock myself in place here. I got bad stick drift. Romans chapter 8. There's a lot of things I want to read from this chapter. It's really good. It's a really good chapter. Let's go ahead and over. Romans 8. We use King James translation. Now, verse 1. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not for the flesh, but for the Spirit. Now, this is real quick. This is not talking about positional. Listen, there's no condemnation at all right now. Okay, positionally, you're no longer condemned. But this is talking about inward condemnation, a condemnation that we have because maybe of guilt and shame, or maybe because of situations we condemn ourselves. It's more talking about kind of like an inward condemnation we struggle with, right? When John 3:18 says, he that believes is not condemned, right? You're no longer in God's eyes under God's wrath or condemnation. That's not the, so this is not talking about God's wrath here or God's condemnation. This is talking about condemnation that we have. Maybe we're condemning ourselves over past sins or past mistakes or things that are just going on. We're just under guilt and shame. Here's what how we deal with it. Look what it says here in verse 6. For to be carnal minded is death. What's a carnal mind? Is it a mindset? Is it a mindset on sin? No. That's not a carnal mind. A carnal mind is a mindset on self. You trying to be your own strength. You trying to justify yourself before people. Or you, in a nutshell, it's being yourself an Adam, thinking you lack something, thinking you need to work for something, maybe earn God's favor, earn his peace, or maybe you got to prepare for the situation, right? It's a mindset on self and self-improvement. That leads to death, which is what? Condemnation. Think about it. For example, you know, when I was younger, when I had like tests for school, and I had to study for it. I mean, it was so frustrating because I would stay up like all night, right? Just trying to get this down. And, you know, I always felt like what? Fear or sense of condemnation because I don't know if I'm going to pass or not. If I pass, I'm a failure. You know, that's this idea we get in our head. And that leads to condemnation. But look what Paul says here. But a spiritual mind is life and peace. A spiritual mind is not dressing up for church. A spiritual mind is not you pretend to be something that you're not, which is called emulation, right? In Galatians, there's the work of the flesh is called emulation, which is pretending to be something that you're not. You know, every Sunday, I'm wearing a suit and tie, but this is not who I really look like, dress like, right? This would be like emulation in a sense, right? Where some people act all spiritual. Oh, hey, brother. Mm-hmm, the Lord is so good today. I'm just so blessed. Yeah, that guy's a phony. It's okay to be honest. I'm not feeling so great. Life feels like crap right now. My point is, but a spiritual mind is what? But so what is a spiritual mind? A spiritual mind is a mindset on Christ. Now what does that mean? It's you agreeing that what God has said about you is true. That's the way I put it. Agreeing that with God's promises for you. It's you saying, amen, I'm forgiven already. I'm righteous because of what Jesus did. But in this context, I want to use it like this, that you are agreeing that you're okay, that God is working all things out for my good. It's you agreeing with the truth of what Jesus did and accomplished for you. And what Jesus did on that cross was just, it was more than just he paid for your sins. He died so you can be seated with him in the heavenly places. He died so you can be one with him. He did a lot more than just paying for your sins. And that's true. That's a great truth of the gospel, that your sins are forgiven and you can never go to hell because of what he did on the cross. But we're still here on this life. And so what's the good of that? That right here, we have a foretaste of what's to come. We can enjoy our God. See, the point of the Christian life is growing in grace, growing in the love and acceptance that God has for you based on what Jesus did. We're no longer under the law, right? We don't go to, I like Psalms, right? I'll drink Psalms. This is a good Psalm, but we don't go to Psalms on how we live our life, right? We don't go to the law. We're dead to the law. But right here in Psalms, I'm seeing a lot of good grace things here. I want to show you the grace in this Psalm. That there's a lot of great truths in here. That God is our refuge. Right? God is our strong tower. So a carnal mind is death. A mindset on self. Me trying to improve the situation. Me trying to fix the situation. I'm hindering God's ability. But yeah, a spiritual mind is a mindset saying, all right, God, you do it. I can't fix it. You do it. I agree with what you said in your word that you're working all things out for my good. I trust you. And I'm meeting Christ where I'm at. Look right here. Go jump down. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh to live after the flesh. You're not in debt to that situation that you're in right now. You're not in debt to it. What do I mean by that? Maybe you made a mistake. Maybe you were an asshole one day to a friend. And of course, you want to apologize. And my point is, you're not in debt to that situation to a point where it makes you feel guilty and feel like you can't approach God. You're not in debt to that. Where that can control your life. Or maybe you made a past mistake of kind of sin of some sort in the past where, you know, it just haunts you. I'm going to tell you that the moment you believe the gospel, it was forgiven. And all your sins have been forgiven, past and future. You're not in debt for that situation. You don't have to live in guilt and shame. God raised you for newness of life. And that newness of life is not self-improvement. It's not trying to change your flesh. No, that newness of life is life dependent on God's grace. It's saying, Lord, my new source of life, when I was unsaved, I was depending on myself, depending on my works and my righteousness, what I do and how to fix situations. That's what I used to do. That's why I was outside of Christ. But now I'm saved by grace through faith. I've been born again. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven when I die, no matter what. My life is now depending on your supply and your grace, Lord. That's the life I'm going to live in by now. And so Paul says we should serve in it. I mean, not all believers do. Sometimes we have the flesh, so we struggle, right? Sometimes we depend on ourselves, look to ourselves for that situation. So we don't always serve in the newness of life. But even then, when we're being unfaithful, God is still faithful to work all things out for our good. But God raised you to newness of life. I mean, you're not an orphan, you understand? We're no longer outside of Christ, right? Where before we got saved, we're orphans. We had no spiritual father. We were dead in our sins and our trespasses. But now he's saying, by faith in him, I quicken you together with Christ. I made you alive. I made you my child. And now I'm here for you. A perfect father. That a perfect father's grace that covers your life. That, you know, we grew up, right? Down here, things different. Okay, down here, earth is different. Okay, most parents expect you to move out by 18 or whatever. You're growing up. You better get to work. But, you know, see, God doesn't do that anymore. And since we're heirs, listen, I'm going to say it spiritually, you're spoiled. Okay? You're spoiled. You ever seen Game of Thrones? I think it was season 3 or 4, where that asshole king got involved as like that young ruler, whatever, that everyone hated. And he died in like season 11. I don't know if you've seen the Game of Thrones, but not. But this ruler, right, this heir to the throne, the father died. And so this young kid, spoiled asshole, excuse my French, there's a punk. I mean, I want him to die right away in the early season, but, you know, he became the king. In a sense, that's what it is spiritually, that you're heir of God through Jesus Christ. We're spoiled in Christ. God's a perfect father. So you can live in my house whenever you want to. God is paying for your meals. God is supplying you. And you're just sitting on the king's table and enjoying and feasting. Spiritually, we're spoiled kids in Christ. Amen. That's good news. Okay. But my point is this, that like right here, we're here. We're still physically here. But you don't have to live in frustration, guilt, and shame, and fear, and worry. You can live dependent on God's grace. What does that look like? That's organic. Listen, it's just like, Lord, you know, I have a struggle with this work. I'm struggling at work. I need your grace for it. And he's supplying the grace for it. Whether you realize it or not, the grace is there. And I'm going a little rant, going all over the place. Bear with me. Sorry, guys. I mean, I only have like an outline here. I'm just going off what I feel like preaching today. But my point, and I'm trying to get to this, is that you're going to be okay. Listen, I mean, I feel like it, but you will. Things will work out for your good. I don't know when, but it will work out for your good. What the enemy is trying to use against you, just like Joseph, where Joseph lost everything, was sold, betrayed by, I mean, his own brothers who loved him and showed covered him, betrayed him. But yet God turned all things around for him. And so I'm going to say what God said to Joseph. Where you are in life right now, the Lord's with you. Well, he's always with you because you're his child. The moment you believe the gospel, you're one with the Lord. So he's never leaving you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's his promise to you. We're almost done. But Romans 8. Let's get reading here. Jump down here with me to my favorite verse. Verse 35. I'm going to show you before we end here. What time? How long have I been going here? Let me check my time. I've been going about 35 minutes. Okay, that's long. Okay, my bad. All right. What with this? Psalms 35. Or I mean, Romans 8, 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or a sword? Just real quick, right here. Distress, persecution from the enemy, famine, or tribulation. Verse 36. As it is written, for thy sake alone we were killed all day long, we were accounted as sheep for slaughter. Nay, in all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm convinced neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Your mistakes, your foolish choices you make daily cannot separate you from God's love. Nothing you do can separate you from his love. And in Romans 8 it says, all things work together for our good. You're free to live your life without fear, without guilt, without shame, without condemnation. You're free to live a human life. You're free to pray tonight or not pray tonight. You're free to read a Bible tonight or not read your Bible tonight. You're free to go to church Sunday or not show up. No matter what, God loves you. No matter what, you're accepted in him because of what Jesus did. You know you're going to be okay. Not because Pastor Cobra said so, or Preacher Cobra, because what Jesus did. All I can point you to is him. That, hey, he died on the cross. He forgave you of your sins. He gave you eternal life. You're going to go to hell. Listen, by the way, I mean, we should have joy that we're not going to go to hell. Amen. I mean, no matter what, when you die, you're going to heaven because of what Jesus did. It's a free gift. You believe it, you're saved, you're forgiven. No matter what happens, you're going to heaven. But not just that. I mean, that's good news. Amen. That I'm going to go to, if I die, I'll go to heaven because of what Jesus did. But remind yourselves of what he accomplished, though. You're one with him now. He's present in your life now. You may not feel it. You may not see it. That's okay. But he's there, and he's working things out for your good. That it's going to be okay because of what Jesus did. My Savior said it's going to be okay. He's my strong tower, my refuge. I have nothing to fear, nothing to lose. It's okay. So you know what? Live your life. You're free to try, free to lose, free to fail. Just live. Look and live. Christ is for you, not against you. All right, recap what I'm talking about. My point one is God's in control, even when it doesn't seem like it, right? If earth was falling apart, God is still in control. Point two, it's okay to feel not okay. No, again, your weakness is not, it's not failure. God's grace is made perfect in weakness. We don't have to pretend we're strong. We don't have to pretend we're strong. Remember, God's our strength. Third point is God's grace is carrying you even now. So, at the end of the day, you're okay. Maybe you may not feel like it, but I'm telling you, it's going to be okay. You will. And you know what? That's why we're here. We're supposed to be a family. Right? I'm going to give you some little doctrinal insight. This was more fun preaching. You know, more just fun preaching for me, but a pastor is not a church leader, right? Don't say, oh, Pastor Corbin. No, honestly, I'm not a pastor. That's a spiritual gift. I don't know if I have it or not. But a pastor is not a church leader. It's a gift to the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Not this building, not a pulpit. It's the body of Christ. Okay? We're all equal in Christ. We're family. I'm not Pastor Cobra. I'm Brother Cobra. So, hey, that's my brother. You know, you're not just a member. No, you're my sister, you're my brother. We're a family. That's what we are. We lost that kind of attitude in churches of brotherhood and familyhood. We kind of lost that. I mean, most churches, they're corrupt. They have a false gospel of works. They're teaching law. So really, you know, when you go to church in person, you have to pretend to be something you're not. And everyone picks on this fake spiritual smile face. that sister showing up, she hasn't been to church in 10 years. You know what I mean? Everyone just, listen, but here, be real. Be who you are. You don't have to dress all fancy. You don't have to watch what you say. This place needs to be a place where you can just be yourself. And that's okay. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I thank you for everyone here today. Everyone here who made it, Lord, and I pray for the people who couldn't make it, that you bless them, help them, Lord. And now, Lord, we just help us remind ourselves, Lord, that you're working all things out for our good. Even when things don't go our way, that you're still sovereign, you're still there, you're still working all things out for our good. I pray for anyone here right now who's struggling, Lord. I'm struggling too, Lord. So we thank you that you're working all things out for our good, and that you're sovereign and you have us, that you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. We've been crucified with you. Nevertheless, we live, not I, but Christ lives in me. Thank you that you are our righteousness, our sanctification, our reward, our redemption, and that our life is hidden with God in Christ, that you are our shepherd, our strong tower, our refuge. Thank you, Lord, that you're all these things, that you are our high priest who's supplying for us, and that we don't have to live a life of co-independence, trying to fight for ourselves and you know, all that, Lord. Know that we know that you're providing, you're supplying, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you raise us to serve in newness of life, a life dependent on your grace. Thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Church dismissed for fellowship. You're free to stay, free to leave.
Amen.
All right. Ugh. Whew. All right.